Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WPR Rebuttal. We had an interesting issue with Blog Talk Radio. You know, last time I was talking about how Blog Talk Radio just isn't that good of a service, and the primary reason I chose it originally was because of its reputation, which unfortunately is better than it actually is, and another reason is because there just aren't that many good competitors in terms of what I can get for like the free package. So again, the free package often has irritating wrinkles in it or inconveniences. But of course, I'm not going to spend a lot of money in a show. Actually, not any money really, unless you count time. But I make sure that it's only my spare time that I have invested in this podcast. But bottom line is that I'm at my dashboard, and obviously I was able to connect, but Blog Talk Radio tried to scare me away. Blog Talk Radio displayed a message that said, due to an issue with the Skype, the host connections for premium members, which I'm a free member, not a premium, but you'll need to connect with Direct Connect, which is only available to premium members, or via telephone to host your show. Well, that's what I normally do. I normally dial in, but originally, okay, so it says Skype the host. Okay, so what it's saying is really that this option that I never use has been disabled, but the way Blog Talk Radio disables it, the way Blog Talk Radio displays it up top of your entire dashboard, it makes it seem as if it's important for everyone. But what Blog Talk Radio should do is display that message about the Skype to Direct Host error only if you click the Skype button, and I don't use Skype because it requires, my understanding is a lot of people expect you to have webcam video conferences if you have Skype, so I, as a rule of thumb, do not use this, at least not until job interviewers start accepting it for actual serious interviews. But in my experience, it's only like for some tech interviews, but most other interviews for positions that I want, because really tech positions are so irritating. I'm not interested in trying to compete for web development or whatever, because the people ask impossible things sometimes, and it's frustrating to try to bring them back down to reality. Or what they'll do is like, well, if you don't have the skills to do it, then I'll pick someone else, which is fine. It is why I stopped contending for web development positions, because that'll be a podcast on its own. Bottom line is that Blog Talk Radio is not intuitive, not even for someone who had done some web development such as me. And now we can finally get to today's topic, which is, well, I guess let's hold off on today's topic, because I just want to wrap up from what I did last week. What I mean is, each podcast is like self-contained for the most part, except for two-parters, in which I'll continue on the subsequent one. But I intend the entire WPR Rebuttal series to be more or less like a serial. Yeah, like you remember the serials that they used to show at the beginning of the movies, right? I guess that's like almost ancient now, but any type of serial comic strip. And I don't mean like the stuff you eat. I don't mean like the oat cereal, C-E-R-E-A-L. I mean in sequence cereal, S-E-R-I-A-L. And that is, if you read a comic strip like in the dailies, then you will find a sequence that's always going forward and it almost never circles backwards, except for to recap and explain how the narrative got to where it is. And similarly, WPR Rebuttal is like an ongoing narrative, so there's going to be some continuity, and I might reference certain prior episodes, which, of course, will help enhance listenership to those who want to get particulars about what I'm referencing in the present episode. So what happened to the Board of Regents? Well, I've still yet to read the news, because what happened is I spent far longer on the cover letter template, not cover letter templates, but support letter template. Audiences could go and send their support for Ray Cross, who's UW System President, because what I covered a few weeks ago is that the Board of Regents at their June 9th and June 10th meeting at UW-Milwaukee, they had not only a bunch of simultaneous committee meetings, but committee of the whole in the afternoon on June 9th, which is a Thursday, and then they had like a personnel meeting in closed session on the morning of Friday, June 10th. Now, anything can happen in personnel, in closed session rather, and most things that happen in closed session relate to personnel actions, because although appropriations and budget recommendations are made in the open, for whatever reason, the dirty details surrounding a person's employment are shut away. And I mean like everything. I'm not just talking about stuff that could be protected on a wall, such as like medical information, but I'm talking about performance evaluations and all the other stuff. Like, I believe that every public official should have his or her performance evaluation aired to the public, whether laudatory or dirty laundry. It needs to be made loud and clear to the media, and more importantly, directed to the public, because the media can be pretty bloody selective. But the bottom line is that, so I organized this pro-Raymond Cross agenda, and to my knowledge, the Board of Regents has maintained him as the UW System President for another year. So he can continue this work of handing the tenure, as I call it, and in forcing the faculty to be more attentive towards the needs of occupationally deprived students. Because the current presumption right now is that, well, if the students are intelligent enough to be admitted to this university, then they'll somehow have all the tools and connections to go and enter a career. But fortunately, it's not true for many people. It's not just a few people falling through the cracks. It's a big enough problem. The critical mass of these grown grads and students who just aren't shortlisted for the right opportunities. It's such an unknown quantity, but significant enough to cause this political action of beating back the faculty and eroding some of their tenure protections. In other words, the faculty have to realize that they have skin in the game in terms of the student success, because when there are so many unsuccessful graduates, they elect people who will get on to, who will appoint, rather, people on a Board of Regents who will then have it out for the faculty, despite the people that are on their board, despite the Regents themselves maybe being amongst the more successful alumni. Obviously, you know, most Regents are professionals, except for the student members. They're kind of hit and miss. There are two student regents, but long story short, student regents have like the briefest terms on the board, only 2 years each, which shows the lack of respect that the students generally get. So the students also have to realize that they should not sycophantically latch on to the faculty. No, the faculty just don't respect students. They see them as a bunch of lemmings, more or less, especially the faculty senate leadership. So all the students who are like cheerleading for a tenure, well, they have to realize they're not getting anything out of it. They're not going to get a career boost by ingratiating themselves. And the people in the student government would be better served by actually supporting Raymond Cross, because then they have a bargaining chip that weakened tenure is a bargaining chip by which we, the citizens, the student consumers, and their families can go and force the faculty into greater accountability for not only matching students to existing opportunities, but being active in creating more opportunities, because there certainly aren't enough opportunities relative to the enrollment. So, at any rate, that's what I have to say to wrap up the whole Board of Regents meeting and the surrounding publicity. Well, this is WPR Rebuttal. If you want to call and speak your mind, our number is 929-477-3965. Okay, so now the title, because of course the title field is really small for Blog Talk Radio, so I have to kind of, I have to omit some of the things you talk about, but choose a title that is generally what the majority of the podcast is on. And speaking of which, we're limited to half an hour today because, as indicated last week, the trial period of Blog Talk Radio expired for my account. So I am not going to upgrade. What I'm going to do instead, I'm going to have the subsequent half an hour on the following Monday. Just keep that in mind. And again, today's start was put off to some extent because, one, I got up in the morning to go and send my letter to the Regents because I had actually finished a template letter late into the night. So I went to sleep, and I got up later in the morning, sent my letter, and I tweeted about it on Twitter that ours can go and send letters of support. Then I went back to bed and took a nap because I was just feeling dead tired. And I got up, and then I'm booting up the computer to go and launch the Blog Talk Radio show, this podcast. And then there's the aforementioned issue where Blog Talk Radio is trying to scare me away by saying there's an issue with Skype to host. And I realized, wait a minute, I don't even use Skype, so it shouldn't be an issue. And I called in the normal conference line and got the ball rolling. So a lot of different things here, time management, human limitations, and, of course, technological limitations. But I managed to accomplish everything I needed to today. And this podcast is just icing on the cake because, really, the Monday podcast will be even better. Because, you'll find the article about it at WPR-rebuttal.com. But my whole point is that I, Senator JPO, have tracked down evidence that Denzel McDonald is not a first-time offender, contrary to what the district attorney might have told the media, and certainly something that the media collectively overlooked. Okay, so just to establish the context, Denzel McDonald, who also goes by the alias King Shabazz, was this UW-Madison student who spray-painted a bunch of buildings or tagged them in graffiti lingo. He tagged a bunch of buildings with his spray paint. According to the media, it was last autumn, 2015. Okay, but get this. I looked into Denzel McDonald's background, okay? You can order a background check from the Department of Justice. It only costs you about no more than $20 when you account for everything. If I recall correctly, there's like a $15 processing fee. And if you want it certified, then you had like another $5. So that's $20. But you can get a background check on anyone, even Senator JPO, if you know my real name. according to the official background check from the State Department of Justice, Wisconsin, Don't ask the U.S. Department of Justice. Just ask Wisconsin Department of Justice. Now, June 2015, Denzel McDonald was convicted of vandalism. Now, that is the same type of offense for which he was convicted, put in the third prosecution in May 2016. So a logical person will say, well, how is it that someone who had been convicted a year earlier, how can they be a first-time offender if they're convicted for something after that first conviction? And that's a glaring inconsistency. And I'm really surprised that no one in the media has caught on to this, but that's why we have internet radio show hosts and internet bloggers to catch on to these things, to raise attention to it so that established institutions can examine the merits of the issue. And what was the deal with the third prosecution? Well, it's more or less, he does about, the problem is it's not in the background check. So the terms of the third prosecution are not in the Department of Justice background check, even though I ordered it after this announcement of the deferred prosecution. So it would seem that even though it's part of his arrest record now, it's just like, what does he need to do to avoid getting thrown in a slammer? Well, common sense tells me he can't do any more graffiti, and certainly not any crime worse than that. But I think something like a minor traffic violation, like, let's say speeding 1 to 15 miles per hour over. I mean, if it's not reckless driving, then you probably won't be prosecuted for this in terms of obedience to the law. Or something like failing to use the turn signal and going around the curve. But the whole point is that he is not a first-time offender, at least not according to what I found information-wise about his prior conviction from June 2015. So, in other words, according to this official timeline from the Department of Justice, he had actually committed some type of vandalism. There aren't any real details except for what he was charged with and when. So Denzel was charged in April 2015 with the crime of vandalism, and he was convicted in June of 2015. And yet, according to the Wisconsin State Journal and other regional newspapers, you know, this King Shabazz guy, and there's only one Denzel McDonald in the background check database that I used, and I used an official request, a certified copy from the Department of Justice to confirm this information I found to ensure it wasn't just a fluke. And so the same one singular, the only Denzel McDonald in the criminal database in Wisconsin, was then charged, if not outright convicted. He was at least charged with deferred prosecution for more vandalism that he had done in autumn 2015, so like 3 or 4 months, up to 5 months after his first conviction, right? And then he's not convicted, he's not really charged with anything until like the following spring 2016, which is odd, because why was he convicted so quickly the last year in 2015? It was only like a month and a half window between like late April and early June. Police found out really straight away, really quickly, and justice was swiftly served. So why was there this big window between, like, let's say, late September, early October 2015, and, like early, mid-May 2015 when he was finally charged? I mean, someone ran him out? Well, according to the stories, this Denzel McDonald guy, he was originally charged in 2016 with intimidating a witness, but that was quietly dropped. And why is that? Because Denzel McDonald, according to the Department of Justice, is not a first-time offender. That, in my opinion, is an instance of the district attorney choosing to be lenient, probably for the sake of community relations, but really, you don't want to send a message that you let small things slide, because what does that happen? Well, it sends a message you let big things slide. And you know what happened about a week or two after McDonald got off the hook? Well, he had some shootings. Yeah, he had some shopping mall shootings in Madison. And, those are probably going to happen anyway, even if the book were thrown at McDonald. But the whole point is that you have to be hard on crime before it gets the bigger foothold. You have to do it in Madison. You have to do it in West Bend. You have to do it anywhere, even in smaller communities. You have to make sure that everyone knows that no matter why you do the crime, there'll be no exceptions, because there's always an alternative to the crime. Even if the would-be offender doesn't like it, there's always an alternative. And I just got to go back to like West Bend. Now, as much as I don't like West Bend, Wisconsin, it's becoming a slum. The so-called community leaders are telling their educated youth to move away for work, because sure as hell won't get hired around there, because they just need unskilled people. They just need obedient slaves who don't think, they don't need any knowledge workers. Nope, not in West Bend. They just need a bunch of strong backs and warm bodies and people with good alarm clocks, which, you know, I can do that work. I've been doing that as my first regular post-college jobs, know, being a manual laborer with a master's degree. But I'm just saying is that to blatantly make it a policy and tell the media that, hey, we aren't going to be able to accommodate all these knowledge workers. So you, if we don't know you personally, then get the hell out of West Beck. We don't even want you, even if you're educated, and even if you could help introduce like the knowledge economy and expand it throughout West Bend. We're not interested because whatever. I don't know why they're not interested. It's kind of counterintuitive. That's the best word for it, is counterintuitive. But at any rate, the one good thing about West Bend is that their police are tend to be tough on crime. Now, they kind of take it to an extreme, too. Like, there was almost a George Zimmerman incident. It's nearly 5 years ago now? No, six. It's just really, the time is flying by. But the whole point is that if you're walking in the wrong neighborhood, you can be a white guy, right? Putatively, you know, the most insulated, I guess, other than white women, they'd probably be less, even less likely to have a police call on them if you're a white woman. But you can be a white man walking through West Bend, and if you're in the wrong part of the neighborhood, then you won't get beat up by thugs or rabbed. You'll get the police called on you because the suburbanites are suspicious. They have like a community watch program, and if you're like if you're jogging through a neighborhood and then you stop the rest, well, you better not stop for too long because then the police will be called on you because you'll be suspicious. You'll be like they'll think you're prowling or something. Like if you go jogging in the evening, let's say. So yeah, at the time it was summer, right? Because I'm saying like 6 years ago. I just gotta say that if you want to jog in the evening because it's cooler, make sure that you don't stop to rest anywhere except your own property, because otherwise you're likely, at least in West Bend, to have the police called on you because everyone there wants to be a George Zimmerman. And again, this was before. This was like nearly 2 years before the whole George Zimmerman fiasco, where he shot that teenager Trayvon Martin. Now, in this case, you know, the people who have done the shooting were police, but the situation was diffused when they searched the area and found that nothing had been stolen. There was no contraband or anything. It was just a guy taking a break from his job. Wow, who would have thought? So at any rate, yeah, that's the one good thing I could say about West Bend. They're real hard ass on crime. That's the way every place should be. But unfortunately, West Bend is missing the big picture in that you need to be creating more knowledge economy jobs because really, oh, and train to hire too, because a lot of the times these people coming out of college, they might not be the exact type of especially that the knowledge economy jobs in a local area needs. So be more flexible and just focus on jobs creation, okay? And then once you have more jobs creation, you have a stronger community, the people know each other better, and you'll be less likely to see innocent people called into the police for investigation when they're going for a jog in the early evening, not even close to midnight. This is well before 8 o'clock, folks. This is like in the early to mid-evening, certainly not any type of follower-type time or anything. And you'll have stronger communal bonds because people will see each other at work and be like, hey, I know that guy. And instead of like, you know, well, who's that person? I'm going to call him in because it looks like he's loitering, even though he's just taking a break from a jog. I mean, what's he even running for anyway, right? Oh, the old people exercise. They still jog outside of the gym. They don't necessarily use a treadmill. They jog in the neighborhood. Wow, what a novel concept. Or more like, what an old-fashioned concept, but West Bend's social fabric has just deteriorated so much. It's kind of like the whole concept of taking from the jog community is outdated. In fact, there's no more community in West Bend. It's just a bunch of balkanized blocks. I mean, it's tough to even know your neighbor anymore. So, and that's why we have to stop people like Denzel McDonald. We have to stop them right now. And if they're no longer first-time offenders, then shut them down. And the stupid Blog Talk Radio keeps on squawking me over this conference line, so I'm just going to end this episode right now, and I'll see everyone Monday at 1:30. Because I generally, you know, I generally start at 12:30 on Friday and then pick up. Oh no, actually, yeah, half an hour, 1 o'clock. Sorry, did I say 1:30? I meant around 1 o'clock. So between 1 o'clock and 1:30, but closer to 1 on Monday. All right, WPR Rebuttal signing off.